Comes from Matthew 22nd chapter 37th verse through the 40th. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first great and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
This morning I'd like to share the church's number two purpose. Rick Warren's numbering of the purposes of the church, beginning with magnify last week. And this morning I want us to look at the purpose of ministry. We are not only to magnify God in all that we do, we are to love Him above all else with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Bible says. But we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when you think about that, I'm sure you think, as I do, about Jesus and about what He did in His life. He ministered. He served is really what that word means. We ought to use the term service, I think, rather than ministry. But because these are all M words, we're going to stick with the M words. Number two in the church's purpose is ministry. The great commandment teaches us that love of God must have first priority in our lives. And that could be summed up in the word magnify. Look with me at the scripture that Brother Curtis read, chapter 22 and verses 37 through 40 there. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, He said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus said that this is the most important commandment in the law, to love God above all else. And then kind of a corollary of that, I suppose you could say, is the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. We cannot really love God without loving our neighbor, because God is love. If we love Him, we're going to love our neighbor. But we're going to think about what that means, to love our neighbor as ourselves. The church's number two purpose is ministry motivated by love. I think that could sum it up. Ministry motivated by love. Three questions regarding this second commandment. I want us to consider, first of all, the why of ministry. The why of ministry. And I believe that can be summed up in that one four-letter word, love. It's kind. I want us to think about the kind of that love. If you know Greek, not many do, but I'm sure you've all heard the Greek word agape, one of the most well-known words in the Bible. This is the kind of love that God has, and God had, and always has had. But it's John 3:16 love, which says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So that's the kind of love we're talking about. We're not talking about sentimental love or certainly not sensual love, but we're talking about the kind of love that God loves us with. That's the kind of love. But I think too, when I think of this love your neighbor as yourself, I think of the King of Love. Someone wrote a hymn, I think based on Psalm 23, that said, the King of Love, my shepherd is. And that's true. If you look at Jesus in the Bible, His life could be summarized in that one four-letter word, love. We're told that many times that He was moved with compassion toward the multitudes because they were His sheep not having a shepherd. But He was also moved with compassion toward individuals, people that we would probably think aren't worthy of love. Zacchaeus being one of them. I know he's kind of depicted as kind of a lovable person, kind of someone that you might feel sorry for, but I don't really think so. I think he was despicable. I think that people hated him, and he hated them back, incidentally. But Christ came into his life because he loved. Christ looked up in the tree, called his name, said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." He knows your name. He loves you. He loves you even with all of your faults. Now, isn't that the definition of love? Real love? Your parents loved you, even though you're a rotten kid, probably, as I was at times. That's unconditional love. That's the way God loves us, even with all of our faults, with all of our foibles, with all of the things that are unlovely about us. He continues to love us. And I think, too, of the kindness of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It's kind." Some of us love, but we love with a club in our hand. We want the love returned, or we want people to act lovable. But God doesn't act that way. Love is kind. Love is patient. There's a kindness in love. And that ought to govern our thoughts as we think about the purposes of the church. Are we kind? Or do we try to fit people into our definition of people that are worthy of love? Something to think about, isn't it? I want us to think also about the who of ministry. Here Jesus said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, who that neighbor is the Greek word means one nearby. I think that's exactly what neighbor means. Neighbor is an old English word that means a nigh dweller, somebody who lives nigh to you or near to you. And of course, Jesus broadened that to not just people that may look like us or think like us or people that are in our families or biological families or people that live right next door, but to everyone who needs God's love. I'm sure you'll recall the parable that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan and how he saw a neighbor in need, and he in turn was a good neighbor because he showed kindness and compassion, and he did something. He didn't just sympathize or empathize, but he reached out to that need. That's who he is. Charlie Brown said, "I love the world, its people I can't stand." We might love people in the abstract, but what about the neighbor that lives right next to us? What about that person that just seems to be put on this planet to make our life miserable? Do we love them? Are we seeking to reach out to them with the love and patience of Christ? Jesus did. He even loved Judas. And I think it was perhaps our Savior's greatest sorrow that he couldn't save Judas. Sadly, there are many like him, like Judas. But we are to love them as Jesus did to the end. The Bible says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And of course, where he lives, where that neighbor lives, he lives where you do. Not necessarily in Alturas. This is our week of prayer for North American missions. And one of the things that does, I believe, is it reminds us that neighbor relationship goes as far as this world extends. We ought to reach out in tangible ways, in gifts and offerings, but in prayers as well. And every day we ought to begin the day with a prayer. Lord, use me to be your minister, what he needs. Well, obviously, we might have different thoughts about that than God does. We might think that they need to be put in their place or that they need to be chastised. But remember, God is a God of love. Remember what he's done in your life, how he's forgiven you of all your sin. If you come to Christ and come to Christ's cross, he has forgiven you of all your sins. And so what he needs is he needs acceptance. He needs to know someone loves him. And I'm using that him in a generic sense, of course, her, whoever it might be. He needs love. He needs salvation because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he needs salvation as much as you do. I want us to think of the how of ministry. Jesus said, as yourself. We are to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's the rule for ministry. It's really kind of a restatement of the golden rule, which says to love your neighbor as yourself, or not, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, some of them kind of turn that upside down and get back at the other like they would get back at you. In other words, if they punch you in the nose, punch them back in the nose. I've heard that too, do unto others before they do unto you. But that's a corruption of what Jesus said here, isn't it? He meant that when you think of what you would like someone to do for you, that's how you ought to do to them. I think that makes us introspective in a good way. It makes us kind of ponder, well, what is it that will reach that neighbor? That one whose heart seems so hard. Well, think about your own heart. Think about what it took. And are you willing to take that step to show kindness? No, I think it could be something as simple as, you know, baking a pie and taking it to them. Now, it wouldn't be that simple for me, and they probably wouldn't appreciate it if I did it. Might drive them farther away. You know, doing things in a tangible way to show Christ's love. Not just saying, you know, God bless you, I'll pray for you. I mean, that's something we ought to do anyway, isn't it? But showing kindness, letting this be a rule for our lives. And here's also a road for ministry. Now, it may not be a road map, but it points the direction. And that direction is out there where our neighbor lives. Are we really interested in reaching people? Then we will do whatever it takes. Now, within reason, of course. God isn't going to ask us to do something outlandish, like come a tavern, sell beer on Sunday morning. He isn't going to do something that is against His Word. I like what Rick Warren says. He says he doesn't think a church should be seeker-driven, but it should be seeker-sensitive. We should put the welcome mat out. We should make people that are not Christians feel welcome, feel accepted, feel safe, feel like this is a place where they could come and seek the Lord. God has put that, I think, that spark in every life that wants to know Him. And what are we doing about it? Are we making a road, or are we putting roadblocks in that road? Something to think about. And there's also here, if you will, a right for ministry. Now, we Baptists, of course, we don't have rights, spelled R-I-T-E-S. But we do have traditions. A lot of this is in the Word. Say we don't have sacraments, but we have ordinances. I don't know that there's that much difference. I think life is a sacrament. Sacrament's a good word. It means that we view something as sacred, as originating with the divine. Some of our religious rites are really more for our benefit than they are for the benefit of others. It's so that we will feel maybe superior. Now, I know we wouldn't admit that, but we kind of, you know, do a lot of things kind of that we make other people feel uncomfortable, but, you know, it makes us feel better, makes us feel more holy or closer to God. But I want to encourage us to think of rites in a different way, and that is in connection with ministry. Habits of our lives. Are we reaching out? Are we acting in love toward our neighbor? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? God loves with an everlasting love. And He has embraced us at Calvary. And should we not be like Jesus? Jesus reached out to the tax collectors. He reached out to the prostitute. He reached out to the drunkards. And He embraced them. Now, true, He said to the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. But He wants them to come. And I just would ask that we pray about our lives and about our church. Are we the kind of Christian that makes people want to be a Christian? Are we the kind of church that makes people feel accepted and that this is a place that they would feel safe and they would feel accepted and they would feel like this is a place where they could seek the Lord together with us?
Make me a servant.